You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and in today's episode, we're looking again at how courts interpret legislation. This time, we're looking at two specific things. Firstly, the rules of language, and secondly, presumptions. And I can tell you that if you like Latin, well, you're in for a treat, because at the end of this episode, not only are you going to have a great understanding of statutory interpretation, but you will also be able to say with confidence something like, "Yeah, I'm pretty confident that the judge used the expressio unius est exclusio ulterius rule to interpret that act." Yes, that's right. At the end, we'll look at some key legal English vocabulary. Don't forget that there are loads of extra resources for Podcast Pro members at www.studylegalenglish.com/episode29. And of course, if you want to find out more about this premium membership, head over to studylegalenglish.com/podcast-pro. You can, of course, sign up for a free trial. So let's get started. If you listened to last week's episode, episode 28, you will remember that we talked about the approaches judges take when interpreting ambiguous or unclear legislation. Can you remember the different approaches? I'll let you have a think. That's right, the literal rule, the golden rule, the mischief rule, and the purposive approach. And of course, they use aids to interpretation, both internal and external, to help them too. The next time you're presented with a legal problem, perhaps you're in litigation or you come across a new statute, why don't you take a minute to think about how this could be interpreted by the UK courts, depending on the approach they could take? And what about judges in your country? I'm interested to know about the approaches the courts take, so why don't you tell me by sending a comment to info@studylegalenglish.com. I'm always grateful to hear comments from listeners, so please do get in touch. So today, as I mentioned, we're looking at other tools judges can use when they interpret ambiguous laws. Firstly, there are the rules of language, and secondly, there are presumptions. Let's look at the rules of language first of all. Are you ready for some Latin? Well, there are three main rules of language which all have Latin names. Let's see if I can pronounce them. These are iusdem generis, expressio unius est exclusio ulterius, and nociter a socis. For Romance language speakers out there, all of you Spanish and Italian listeners, you might be able to guess the meaning of these. Let's take a closer look and see if you've got the correct answer. Firstly, iusdem generis. This means of the same type. The rule is that if a word with a general meaning follows a list of particular or specific words, then the general word takes a meaning from the list of particular or specific words. For example, in the list house, office, room, or other place, the word other place is a general and ambiguous word. What can it include? In the case of Powell against Kempton Park Racecourse in 1899, following the eius dem generis rule, the other place was construed to mean an indoor place, because all of the particular words in the list, house, office, room, are all indoor places. So this list actually excluded outdoor places. Next, we have the expressio unius est exclusio alterius rule. This means that to express one thing is to exclude another. This means that if we have a list of specific things within a specified class or type, this means that other things in this specified class are actually excluded. This will probably become clearer, I hope, if I give an example. In the case of the Crown against inhabitants of Sedgley in 1831, there was a list which included lands, houses, tithes, and coal mines. The court considered whether limestone mines could be included in this list, whether the list could be interpreted in a way as to include limestone mines. The court held that because the class mines had been specified in this list as coal mines, this impliedly excluded all other types of mine. Therefore, limestone mines were not included in this list. The list could not be interpreted in a way as to include limestone mines. You're probably thinking, what are coal mines and limestone mines? Well, coal is a fossil fuel which we extract from the ground in these big mines. Limestone is a natural resource. It's a type of rock which we also extract in these big places called mines. Limestone is used normally in buildings. Next, we have the rule of nociter a socis. This means known by the company it keeps. And basically what this means is that the ambiguous words or phrases can take their meaning from the other words around them and in the context of the list. For example, in the case of Mer against K in 1875, it was held that a cafe could be considered as a place for public refreshment, resort, and entertainment. The word that was being challenged was entertainment, but the courts interpreted this in the context of the other words to mean the reception and accommodation of people and not just musical entertainment, not a much narrower interpretation. So, those are the three rules of language. Have you forgotten them already? Okay, they are eius dem generis, expressio unius est exclusio alterius, and nociter a socis. Can you remember exactly what they mean? Well, let's give it a try. What is eius dem generis? It means of the same type. What is expressio unius est exclusio alterius? It's not a spell from Harry Potter, but it actually means to specify one thing excludes the others. And what about nociter associis? It means the company it keeps. Look at the context and the surrounding words. So let's move on to presumptions. The presumptions are general principles which have developed in common law and are particularly important about protecting individuals, especially as the UK is lacking a written constitution. They should be followed by the courts when they interpret legislation, but some of them can be rebutted. They are rebuttable. There are many presumptions, so now we will look at just three of them to give you an idea of what they are. Firstly, the presumption that Parliament does not intend to impose criminal liability without fault. This means that for statutory criminal offences, courts presume that there will be no liability without proof of both actus reus, another Latin word, which means the criminal act, and mens rea, another Latin word, the intention to commit the criminal act or the mindset. There will only be a strict liability offence where Parliament has very clearly and expressly stated this. A strict liability offence means an offence where the mens rea need not be proven. It is enough that the criminal act has happened. For example, if you go speeding in your car, you drive way too fast without realising and you get caught, this will still probably be an offence because it is a strict liability offence. You don't need to know that you're committing the crime. You don't need intention to commit the act. Even if you didn't realise you were doing it, it is still an offence. Secondly, the presumption that Parliament will not legislate contrary to international law and treaty obligations. Therefore, where laws are made which are incompatible with international laws, the courts will interpret them in a way as to comply with such laws. Thirdly, the presumption that Parliament does not intend to legislate retrospectively. This means that a person cannot be held liable for an offence that was not illegal at the time of the act being carried out. For example, if you do something today, if you shout at someone in the street, and tomorrow Parliament says shouting in the street is a crime, you can't be prosecuted for the act that you committed yesterday. One exception to this rule is the ability to prosecute an act of atrocity committed during World War II under the War Crimes Act 1991. Some things were considered so terrible that Parliament considered it okay to create a crime retrospectively and prosecute those who committed those terrible actions during the war. So, that's those three presumptions. Can you remember what presumptions generally mean? If you remember, presumptions are general principles that the courts follow when interpreting legislation. So, now let's take a look at some of the key legal vocabulary we've heard today. First of all, you will hear the new vocabulary. This will be followed by a beep and a short pause for you to repeat the new vocabulary, practice your pronunciation. Then there will be a definition, and this is followed by an example sentence of how you can use this new vocabulary in practice. Then there will be a beep and a short pause for you to repeat this example phrase. So let's go. Number one. Construe. To construe means to interpret the words of a legal text, such as an act, and then translate this meaning into legal rules. Example, repeat after the beep. The judge construed the words other places to mean indoor places. Rebuttable. If something is rebuttable, it means that a contrary argument or proof can defeat or remove the effect of the original point or argument. Therefore, the presumption that a defendant is first and foremost innocent can be rebutted by evidence to show that he is guilty. Example, repeat after the beep. The defendant rebutted the claimant's allegations by proving that they were false. Number 3, expressly. In legal English, if something is done expressly, it means it is clearly, directly, and intentionally stated. It is not ambiguous in any way. Example, repeat after the beep. The Act expressly states that this is a strict liability offence. Great, well done. So that's the end of today's episode, where we've looked at the rules of language and presumptions, which both help judges interpret ambiguous words or phrases in legislation. If you want to learn more legal vocabulary from this episode and even test yourself with a very fun quiz, you can do so as a Podcast Pro member. And you can find out more about this at studylegalenglish.com/podcast-pro. Don't forget to send me a message about statutory interpretation in your country, and you can get in touch at info@studylegalenglish.com. So thanks for listening, and see you next time.